Hi, this is Paul Jones, pastor of Victory World Outreach. Thank you for visiting our podcast. I hope this ministry from our preaching team brings encouragement and inspiration to your life.
If you'd open your Bibles this evening to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'd like to just minister for a little bit this evening on when God testifies. When God testifies. We testify, we witness, we bear witness to what we've seen or heard in the gospel and what Jesus has done in our life, and all that's powerful, all that's wonderful, but you know what? There's times when God himself testifies too, and that's even better. Amen. And so I want to look at this this evening for a few minutes, and there was a couple of quotes I just remember from years ago. One was, without the Holy Spirit, we are limited to the realm of the five senses. And that's it. But how many of you know we need to go beyond that? We need to go beyond what we can understand. We need to go beyond what we can see and tap into what God sees and what God can do. Another that I remember was, ministry takes place when human need is met by either the character or the power of God. And if we minister, or if we serve, if we in any way reach out and touch the lives of people for God, we need the character and the power of God working through us to touch those people. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, it says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with the excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Amen. I like that last verse, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And I think that we we focus on our time. That's what we know. That's what we see. I'm not saying this that things that we see around us in the church world are just unique to now. Rather, I believe that any problems we see around us today have been there for the last 2,000 years. They just rise up again and kind of fade away, and they rise up again, and then they fade away. And so we're in a time that I believe, what as far as what I see, and of course this isn't all inclusive of all of the church or all churches by any means. I don't mean to imply that it is, but what I see is much of the modern church has pushed out the supernatural. They pushed it out of their services, of their statements of what they believe, of their teaching, and of their ministry and how they minister to people. If you push out the supernatural, you're left with just the five senses. You're just left with what you can do. I don't know about you, but I can't get very far in that. The modern church, I think, in large part, has pushed out healing, pushed it right out, pushed out speaking in tongues, pushed out deliverance, pushed out prayer, pushed out suffering for Jesus. That's not popular. Pushed out evangelism. Pushed out the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Can't have that. People might get uncomfortable. And something else that I'm seeing more and more in these recent years is pushing out the discussion of the return of the Lord. Pushing it out. I want to talk about it. Again, the statement that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Intellectualism. Intellectualism without power. If you have intellectualism and you got power, go for it. But without the power of God, just left with the accumulation of a lot of detail and facts and analysis and wowing everybody and analyzing everything to death and every verse to death without any power, I don't know what you're left with. Amen. One man commented in regard to the Word of God. He said, if you torture the text enough, you can make it say anything you want. Where does the opposition to the supernatural come from? Sometimes people are just uncomfortable in that environment. Uncomfortable. You know, we like to believe and trust that, you know what, at any given service, God can do what He wants. Amen. If He decides to just move from over here over to there and knock everybody, so be it. If He doesn't, we're moving on. It's all right. We still believe in God. Jesus made a comment. He said, you have invalidated the Word of God for the sake of your tradition in speaking to the religious people. I know that within churches and denominations, there's lots of tradition. Lots of tradition. Sometimes I even want to check, you know what, my traditions. I don't want to be invalidating the Word of God. That's a strong statement. Word of God is powerful. But Jesus Himself said, you invalidate it because of your tradition. Tradition. Some were just raised in an environment that said, you know what, God doesn't do that anymore. God doesn't do that anymore. I've heard and read statements of just a few that I've made note of, not just speaking of healing, but of a broader signs, wonders, and miracles. I'll get to in a second. But I've heard things like, I suppose God can heal, but I have a rational faith. Some have commented, divine healing is a theological quagmire. What's a quagmire about? These signs shall follow those who believe. Amen. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Today, we have a scientifically grounded intellect, whatever that means. The first century church needed miracles to get the church started. We do not. We need miracles more or just as much today in this dark, evil world that we live in. Some say physical healing in the atonement is an erroneous teaching. Divine healing is a sign of an apostle, and the apostolic era has ended. Christians should realize that oftentimes God is glorified more in our suffering than the alleviation of the suffering. God can still heal and work miracles, but we should focus on being rooted and grounded in faith and strengthening our faith. It takes a lot of faith to believe God for the miraculous. Strange and different views we see, but I want to look at with that kind of a perspective in mind and seeing it. I'll tell you what I believe to be true is that for a church to believe God to heal the sick and actually take the time to pray for the sick, to believe God for prayers to be answered and miracles to be done in people's lives, you are in the minority. In what is called the church world today, you're in the minority. There's a statement that Jesus made. And you know what? I've been thinking about this statement for months. For months. It's a powerful statement. And you know what? I just think about this statement a lot. In John 10:37, he said, "If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. Do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." The works of the Father. Well, the works of the Father are definitely something we can't do. Amen. I look at the works of the Father as signs, wonders, and miracles. Something that touches the life of an individual. Something that stirs up an entire nation. Something powerful and supernatural. If it was natural, we could do it. It's supernatural because God does it. Amen. If I do not do the works of the Father, do not believe me. He's just putting it on the line. He's putting it on the line. So what I want to look at tonight again is when God testifies. When God testifies. And one of the reasons, I believe one of the most important reasons of why God does miracles is that very thing right there, to confirm the message, to confirm the gospel, to confirm it. There are other reasons the Bible gives us. His compassion. The Bible says Jesus was moved with compassion. The atonement and what he did on the cross. He set an example for his disciples to follow. But I think the number one reason, the reason that should carry through all generations and be in the churches today, is God confirming the message of the gospel with a supernatural stamp of approval. A supernatural stamp of approval. See, I was watching T.L. Osborne in an old crusade in India. And he's there before tens of thousands of people. And there was a large group of Muslims over there. And a Muslim man came down who was crippled. Obviously, very crippled and broken. And T.L. Osborne came down, and he looked to the whole crowd, but especially those Muslims. And he said, "If this man is not healed, don't believe anything I'm telling you." And that man was healed. Amen. Amen. Just like Jesus, he put it on the line. He put it all on the line. Because like Jesus saying, you know what, this is more than just words. It's more than just another philosophy. It's more than just an intellectual argument for you to consider. But it is the power of God for salvation. The power of God. And I think when we, or any Christian, or any church, will preach the gospel message, God himself will confirm it. God himself will confirm it. Now, we pray for the sick, people that are hurting, and that's perfectly all right and wonderful. People are hurting, and the devil's tormenting lives, and you want to see them set free and healed, and praise God for it. I'm not just talking about in one service, but I'm talking about in the workings day to day and year to year of that church, of that ministry, in the life of that individual Christian. There'll be confirmations by God himself of that gospel message. That what, you know, we could bring it down, I believe, to an individual. You're witnessing to somebody. You're telling them the truth. You're telling them the gospel. Why shouldn't we believe God himself to step in and confirm what we're telling them? Some of the examples of signs wonders and miracles that the Bible talks about is power over evil spirits. Of course, we saw Jesus cast out lots of devils. In Acts 13, when Paul rebuked that wicked man and he became blind, it says, then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done. He believed. Paul was preaching, Paul was testifying, the devil was raising up, God stepped in and confirmed what he had to say. Power over nature. And, you know, of course, Jesus calming the storm and multiplying the fish and the loaves. Of course, all of the healing of the sick. And, you know, in Acts chapter 3, when silver and gold, you know the story, rise up and walk, stirred up everybody. Another sign and wonder is the conviction of sin. Now, don't overlook this one. This is an important one. Of course, we look to the wonderful, powerful, dramatic. Those are awesome, and those have their place. But the conviction of sin is a work of the Holy Spirit. Is the work of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. The conviction of sin. That brings a person to a place of repentance. It brings a person to a place where they will call upon the Savior to be saved. Call upon his forgiveness. Conviction of sin. In Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached, it says they were cut to the heart. That's not Peter being rough and mean and not compassionate. That's the Holy Ghost getting in and confirming what he was preaching. By getting in the heart where none of us can get, getting into the heart of people and bringing that conviction, shining that light on the dark places of the heart, convicting. But conviction is driven out, not wanted, has no place in so many churches. Somebody might get offended. Somebody might get their feathers ruffled. Well, too bad. Amen. I don't even have any feathers left. They've been ruffled so much. Amen. But thank God. Thank God, because I know that he cares for me. And he's only trying to bring me to a place where he can forgive, he can heal, he can restore, he can change me. He can change me. The conviction of sin is a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. Another supernatural sign and wonder is the opening of eyes. Not just the blind eyes, that of course, but the spiritual eyes. The spiritual eyes, opening of the eyes. You know, sometimes most of us have been in a place where we talk to someone or witness to someone we know, and you know what? We talk so much till our lips fall off. And we're like, you know, what is it going to take? It takes God to get in there and turn the lights on. We got to do our part, don't get me wrong. But the ultimate moment where something clicks, and however you want to put it, something clicks, the lights come on, they begin to see, is the Holy Spirit. And it's just as much a miracle as parting the Red Sea. Paul, in describing his own call, as he's testifying in Acts chapter 26, said, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. To open their eyes, to open their eyes. To open their eyes. Supernatural. These things are signs, wonders, and miracles. These things are. When the gospel's preached, something's happening. Something's stirring. The Holy Ghost is working. Amen. When they hear about Jesus, crucified, died, risen from the dead, the Savior who can forgive sin, write our names down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Give us eternal life. Something stirring in the hearts of people. It's more than just intellectual reason going from one person to another. If that's all we had, we might as well pack it in. but we need the supernatural power of God. Amen. Let me read a few more verses. John 10, 24. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, to Jesus, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." In other words, hey, the Father in heaven is telling you by the miracles that are being done. They confirm who Jesus is. They confirm what he taught. And God is still about confirming that for people today, that he is the Savior. John 4, 48. Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." That's kind of a sad statement. I believe he was discouraged or frustrated by it, but it's no less true. Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. He saw it that way, that is the heart of mankind. Unless you see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. The Holy Spirit still testifies today, bears witness. You know, that's what we go out or talk to people and outreach and people that we know. We testify of Jesus. That's what we do. We tell them of a Savior. We testify of him. We bear witness to him, what it is he has done, who he is, what he's done in our life. We testify of him. So here in John 15, Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, "When the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." He will testify of me. You know, we need to testify of the Lord, of course. But I really want the Holy Ghost to do some testifying too. Amen. I need that, or my words are empty. He will testify of me. Why would we have reason to say that God does no more miracles today? Are we saying that the Holy Spirit does no longer testifies of Jesus? Of course not. Of course he still testifies of him. As we get into the book of Acts, we see carried on exactly what Jesus did. Exactly what Jesus did and how Jesus ministered, and it is carried on right into the book of Acts. Let me read through some of these verses in Acts 4, 29. They pray in after they got arrested and let go again. It says, "Now, Lord, look on their threats. Grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, that the signs, wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." When they prayed, the place where they assembled together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke the word of God with boldness. Boldness. You know, it's great to have boldness. If you're afraid when you witness, don't worry. You're just in the camp with everybody else. Amen. But when there, if I saw and knew that God would be right there confirming it with me, I guess I'd be a little more bold too. Amen. Acts 2:43. "Then fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles." Acts 14:3. "Therefore they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord." Who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands? Acts 15:12. "Then all the multitude kept silent, listened to Barnabas and Paul, declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles." It's a confirmation. It's a confirmation when we begin to see, of course, God has compassion for people. And of course, we can, you know, just rebuke the devil off of the lives of people when he's tormenting and afflicting them. But in the big picture of things, God wants to confirm the message of the gospel to the entire world. His way, he could come down and get everybody's attention. He's not going to do that. He could send angels. He's not going to do that. He's given a pretty good way, you and me, with his confirmation. Amen. To move and demonstrate, to confirm. It's like his stamp of approval. It's like his stamp from heaven. What did, when the voice from heaven sounded about Jesus, this is my beloved servant in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Hear him. God's stamp, God's backing that this is real. It's not just another philosophy. It's not just another religion. It's beyond that. It's beyond that. It's supernatural. Listen to this in Hebrews chapter 2 in the Amplified. It says, besides this evidence, it was also established and plainly endorsed by God, who showed his approval of it, speaking of the gospel, by signs and wonders and various miracles, miraculous manifestations of his power, and by imparting the gifts of the Holy Spirit to the believers according to his own will. Look, who showed his approval. God showed his approval. Endorsed. It was endorsed by God who showed his approval. And how he endorsed it, how he showed his approval, was miraculous power. Miraculous power. Acts 14:3. It's a couple of more, just in case you're still doubting. Therefore, they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace. I think I had that twice. Must be double good. Amen. Mark 16:20. They went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word through the accompanying signs. I like that. I don't know about you. I take great comfort and confidence in the Lord working with them part. Amen. The Lord working with them, confirming the word, confirming the word. We've been given a great heritage. It's not something that's passed away. That is absurd. We've been given a great heritage passed down to us by the Lord himself and by the generations of our fathers that have gone before us in the church, of God working with them, confirming the word, confirming the word. Without it, we have to wonder. I'm going back to that verse of your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. If there's no power, I'll just throw the question out. If there's no power, maybe the faith is in the wisdom of men. If there's no demonstration of power, is it just a gathering of people listening to an intellectual discourse about something? Or is it something that the faith of the people will look beyond that person and to the power of God? To the power of God. I'm just trying to choose my words carefully. It's difficult sometimes today, if you read a lot of books there's a lot of good things out there, don't get me wrong. If you read a lot of books and you hear a lot of messages and you see a lot of disagreement and you see strange things you see and hear coming from the church. You hear strange things. Amen. Just follow with me. You hear strange things. Like I said, there's no such thing as a second coming. No such thing as a rapture. God doesn't heal. I can go on down the list. That outside, at least maybe what a lot of us hear daily, is very, very common. Very common. Things that you wonder, no confrontation of the gospel, nothing. No altar call. No bringing people to a place of repentance. No message that confronts. No message that challenges people to make a decision for Jesus. No message that tries to bring people to a place of seeing their need for a Savior. If the first time I had gone to a gospel preaching church, if all I heard was just how wonderful I am and this and that, I'd have just walked right back out again and went right back to what I was doing. But I heard a message that got in my face. It wasn't the preacher. He was nice. He was kind. But the Holy Ghost arrested me. The Holy Ghost confronted me. The Holy Ghost brought me to a place, make a decision. Eternity's at stake. Make a decision. That's a sign. That's a sign. That's a wonder. When God's doing that in a church, that is a confirmation of the gospel. Are you following me? When that is happening in any church, that is a confirmation of what is being preached. If there is no confirmation, you have to wonder what is being preached. You have to wonder. Is there conversions? If you've grabbed hold of the latest and greatest book and the latest and greatest wind blowing through the church, something that's all exciting and wonderful and everybody's jumping on, are you seeing any confirmation in it? Are you seeing true conversion of sinners? Are you seeing the sick healed, the captive set free? Are you seeing the world's hatred and persecution towards that individual, that group, that church? Or is faith in the wisdom of man and not the power of God? Is there some confirmation that you can take away? Or is it just an intellectual discourse? I challenge you to look for it. I challenge you, I want to see it by all means. I want to see God confirm it. If He doesn't confirm what I preach, maybe I need to look at what I preach. Because He'll confirm it. He'll get involved. He'll move. I'm not just talking about one service. I'm talking about in the moving, the direction of that church, that body over a period of time, God working. And when you have a prayer being answered, like what we had recently with Pastor Bland's daughter's baby, I believe that's a confirmation. Amen. Amen. That's a confirmation. Pastor Marshall had a woman healed of cancer. I'll share this, and whoever else, musicians can come. He had a woman healed from cancer. And I was talking to him the other day, and he's telling me, he says, this woman is going all over telling everybody what God did, telling everybody. She's knocking on doors, stopping people in the street, telling them what God has done. He said she's got her doctor. I'm not sure if it's happened yet, but she said, I'm bringing my doctor to church. My doctor is going to get up and tell everybody what I had, that it was no joke. There's a confirmation in these days ahead, in these years ahead. Don't be taken in by the wisdom of man. Don't be taken in by fads and books and winds of doctrine and fluffy things and cute and wonderful things in nice bows and packages. Look for the confirmation of God on the message that's being preached. Amen. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Has nothing to do with saying we're better than anybody else. We're desperate. If God doesn't get involved, we're done. We're done. If God wasn't involved, we would have been done years ago. Ask Pastor Jones. He said this would have folded and been gone years ago if God was not involved. So for your life, I believe two things tonight. It should bring a great confidence to each one of us. That as we witness to someone, if we share the gospel with people, what we see in our services, what prayers are answered, that there we can trust wholeheartedly and confidently that there is a dimension of the supernatural at work if we share His message. Not mine, not yours, but His message. The way He wants it shared, He will confirm it. The second thing is, help us to be a little bit more on guard. There's a lot of great, good things out there, good ministries, good people. But I don't want to get caught up in the wisdom of man. I don't want my faith in the wisdom of man. I want it in the power of God. How many all across this place? Maybe you're here tonight. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe you're not saved. See, I believe tonight that the Spirit of God is working. You might be feel stirred. You might be feeling that conviction. You might be feeling that. It's because God's drawing. He's drawing you. He's drawing you. You might be saying, no, it's all right. It's all going to be good. And maybe God's saying, no, it's not all going to be good. It's the conviction of the Holy Spirit, drawing, saying, get this right. Come to me. Let me cleanse you. Let me forgive you. Let me change you. Let me fill you. Don't fight Him. If that's you tonight, just slip up your hand. Say, pray for me tonight. Pray for me. God bless you. God bless you. There's hands going up in this place. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Others, tonight, we believe God. We believe God for a miracle in your life. That's not what we can do. It's we believe Him to step into your arena, into your world, and get a hold of you and change you and wrap His arms around you and save you. Because none of us can do it, but He can do it. He can do it. And if what I'm telling you of Jesus Christ crucified, died, and risen from the dead is true, I believe He'll do that very thing in your life. Others, slip up your hand tonight. Say, I want to be included. Pray for me. Pray for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to take time and open these altars here. If you raised your hand, come on down to this altar. If you didn't, you can still come on down. I challenge you, let God get involved in your testify. You testify and let Him testify right beside you. Amen. Amen. That's exciting. Let's stand all across this place.
Thanks again for listening. To hear more messages, subscribe and go to our podcast channel for more episodes. If you like it, consider rating it and sharing it with your friends. For more content from Victory World Outreach and to learn more about us or to support this ministry, go to vwonow.com.